Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With a question mark. Richie Incognito?
Well, I mean, his reputation did take a well-deserved beating, and we didn't hear much after his next stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm looking for a more recognizable name, I guess. Especially somebody who, maybe a wide receiver, if we could get like an apples-to-apples comp.
We could do that as well. A lot of people throwing out more examples of guys who spent little to no time in the minor league system. Steven Strasburg, of course, coming out of San Diego State. You got Brandon Finnegan, former Royal and Red. There are guys out there. And this guy said, didn't Mark Kotze get to the bigs pretty fast? Mark Kotze was the closer, wasn't he, for Fullerton back in the day? Yeah. And when the A's traded him, it was for Devine. Remember that with Atlanta? And they agreed to pay, like, Kotze's salary. Like, they took on only, like, I think Atlanta only took on $500K to get the reliever Devine. Yeah. I can't hear you, by the way, through that mic. You got to turn it on.
What did they get? Got to turn it on. This is so weird. I've never sat in this spot before. Everything is smaller here.
And I should talk about, you tried the other one. This is your third chair now.
Right. I need the text line. Even though Townie says I'm a better performer without the text line.
Really?
Yeah, he thinks, well.
He thinks you lean on it.
He may have been, no, not lean on it. He thinks I get affected by it too much. And that may have been the case. I've learned to not get hurt by the text line. I don't get all in my feelings when the text line gets all over me anymore.
You're okay with it now?
I'm okay with it, yeah.
Well, we're all human.
So, I'm now going on record to say that Antonio Brown, if he comes to the Niners, I think highly enough of Shanahan and Lynch and the leadership in that locker room and the fact that I think they're going to be a decent team next year. I think Antonio Brown, if he comes here, we add his name to the list of people who kind of refurbish their reputation at the next stop.
Well, there's no way we can predict the future. You'd like to
say. Sure we can. We're sports talk radio hosts.
Soothsayers. I just think if this was kind of a one-off, like let's say he had, remember that tantrum where he was throwing things?
Mm-hmm.
Look, we all blow up sometimes. That's fine. Remember when you broke every monitor in here?
Right, right. That was when they put Anderson Varejao into Game 7.
I thought it was because you said somebody stole your Pez.
No. Speaking of Anderson Varejao, Varejao would have been a great Pez. Right?
To me, you know who Anderson Varejao, he looked like if Andre the Giant had been at Devil's Island.
Wow.
And let out after 20 years. He'd look like Anderson. You know, just eating cockroaches and...
eating cockroaches. Hey,
like Papillon.
You know who is the human Pez dispenser? And it's a huge part of his game and why he gets to the line so often? James Harden. He does the Pez head back all the time. I expect a big candy lump to come out of his throat at some point. But that is how... You know, when somebody brought up the other night that the beard... The actual beard itself helps him get calls because it's so noticeable that when he does throw his head back even just a little bit, the referee sees all sorts of hairy movement and figures something had just gone wrong.
By the way, All Sorts of Hairy Movement is my other podcast that I have with Dibs.
I thought you were going to say that's the name of your band.
It's a different type of thing. Steven and Vallejo, by the way, on the Chilton Onbody text line 95795, mentioned McGee. We did talk about that before.
And again, McGee was never known as a bad guy.
No, he just was known as just not worth the effort.
I'm telling you, something I've never, for whatever reason, can't really put my finger on it. I've never really liked Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know. I think there's something wrong in the Steelers locker room that you've got two stars, maybe arguably, I'm not going to use that word.
You hate that.
Arguably is the worst word ever.
And tell people why you hate it.
Because you could argue anything, right? I mean, you are arguably the best sports talk radio host ever. Arguably, you're the worst. You could argue all you want both ways. It doesn't mean it's true, but you can always argue something.
All right.
So it's kind of weak. Anyway, you've got your best running back and your best wideout in the same year. They decide, I can't stand this anymore. I've got to get out of here, and I will take a financial hit to do so. Something's wrong there. Something's fundamentally wrong. So I'm going to assume Bell at his next stop and Brown at his next stop, they will be happy campers.
This is the thing, and it's easy to lump these three Steelers together, Bryant, Bell, and Brown, but they're all distinctive cases. To me, Bryant, who missed a season and a half through his own suspensions, to me is just the ultimate dummy. And this is why in a contract year to trade a third round pick for him was the second dumbest thing that Gruden did outside of trading Khalil Mack. This is what I hope that Mike Mayock does, is he hangs up that phone when he's going to do something stupid like that. The thing about Le'Veon Bell, and I almost admire him in a weird way, because not this present season, but the season before that, the Steelers were going to make him the highest paid running back in the history of football. And he said no. He said somebody has to take a stand for running backs, and he wanted almost quarterback money because he said our careers don't last as long. The tread on the tire comes back much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give me 35 touches a game. I'm going to be, you know, I'm not going to be able to get out of bed when I'm 40, these types of things.
That was the weakest part of his argument, don't you think?
What?
That you're going to have me tote the rock 35 times. Most running backs beg for that. And this guy's using it as a reason why he should get paid more or why he wants out. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think on the one hand, by him taking the highest contract for a running back ever, which I think now is still Devontae Freeman, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, for him to take the highest contract ever, I would have thought that would have promoted, you know, it's like the house on your block selling for more money. It makes the property values go up everywhere. That I thought the property value on running backs would go up. So he's taken a stand, and he's been quite happy. Now, he thinks, hey, there's another year now where I didn't play, where I'm completely fresh. And I think he's young enough where he can't say that. But you also have to deal with the fact that this guy is going to march to his own beat as well. But if you look at his numbers and you look at Antonio Brown's numbers, you could make the case for them being the best running back and the best wide receiver in football. And there's no way you can say they're not top three mm-hmm. at their position.
Right.
So you just have to weigh each individual case. To me, I have much more faith in Le'Veon Bell once he's signed to be a good soldier. I don't know about Brown. Because of this diva stuff and the Photoshop from the Jolo and Dibs quote from Jerry Rice, the open for business thing, I don't like it, Mike.
I could see why you don't, and I'm sure there's a ton of people who feel the exact same way, but like, what about the Photoshop thing bothers you so much? That's just him making it clear that, yeah, I'd like to go to the Niners. I don't see anything that's evil or deviant about that.
I don't think it's evil or deviant. I just think it makes him look like a 14-year-old. I don't know. It doesn't seem like that. Doesn't seem, just be a man. If you want to go to the Niners, call up Lynch and say, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, hey, look what the goat said. No, it just, what's next? Is he going to Instagram himself at Pinkberry? You know,
I don't
know.
He said he wants to run hills with Jerry.
Be careful what you wish for.
I know, exactly.
I remember, when I was working the TV in the early 90s, that Roger Craig and Jerry Rice put out this workout video of them running the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to show like the infomercial for it, like at 5 a.m. on Saturdays or whatever. But watching that video was exhausting.
I know the guy who came up with that whole workout. His name's Ray Ferris. He went to San Carlos High School, where my dad was a teacher and my two older brothers went before it got closed down. And I caught up with him as he was just getting out of being an NFL trainer type guy, but he's largely responsible for Eddie George's workouts, and he's known as, you know, he's one of those guys that his workout is legendary, and so is Jerry Rice, and they both came from this same guy right here on the peninsula, Ray Ferris. Shout out, Ray.
But the greatest workout of all time, Andres Torres, remember?
Oh, in his jeans?
No shirt, wearing like Jordache.
That was awesome.
With some like, you know, very decorative pockets. And he would take like a cinder
bedazzled.
Block.
His pockets were bedazzled.
But it was almost like it's some sort of Scottish Highland Games, like this Tabor costume.
Yeah.
He would take this cinder block and throw it up over his head. But you can't argue with a World Series. By the way, ever tell you my Eddie George story?
No, give it to me.
Years ago, my syndicated show, we used to, back in the day, give our guests limos and free dinner at a local North Beach restaurant. But every once in a while, the guy would be like, hey, I got the limo. I'm by myself. You guys want to hang out? So Eddie George, in shorts and a hoodie, wanted to go to the Starlight Room, you know, at the top of the Drake at Union Square.
And there's a dress code there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a dress code. And he walked up.
Not for Eddie George.
And there was no dress code for Eddie George. There's a famous, you know, Harry
Denton.
Were
you in shorts and a hoodie?
I was not. You know, it's Harry Denton, right? Isn't that the guy that has, and then Harry's on Fillmore. The quote was, when Will Clark was a rookie with the Giants, he was in there. And Harry Denton was like, everything's on the house, everything. And then Will's like, you don't even know who I am. And Harry said, you're right, but I know you're famous, and if you're famous, I'll kiss your blank. How about that? All right, on that note, everything in life can be described in two ways.
It's time for Good for Ball.
Oh, that was outstanding.
Or Bad for Ball.
That is a disgusting act.
Here's Michael Urban.
All right, I'm sure most of you know how to play this game already, but for those of you who don't, everything, literally everything in life can be labeled good for ball or bad for ball. If you hang out with me over the course of a day, you'll hear me say it a good between 15 and 30 times. I'm not exaggerating. I literally will say that to myself on the drive-in 5 or 6 times. To make sure that I know my co-host understands how it's played, I always ask them to give me something either good for ball or bad for ball that has happened to you before you got on the air today.
I would say bad for ball, one word, raisins.
That's fine. See, I love that. It's simple. Raisins are bad for ball. Why?
You have a beautiful grape. You can make wine out of it. You can make grape juice out of it. You can extract its essence for a Slurpee or some gum. I know that's in a lab.
Wow.
Or table grapes. Who doesn't like some nice crisp red or green, white, whatever. Table grapes.
I don't like room temperature grapes, Rick.
Okay. Well, not room temperature. I'm just saying table grapes. They're cold. They're cold and crisp.
Okay.
Or you can let them die, and you can send them to a dirty stoner farmer's market, which is redundant. You can ruin a salad with them, and you can also ruin Halloween with them.
And you can also ruin the filling that just went into your teeth 2 weeks ago, and that raisin pulls it out.
The other day, I was at Fat Apples in El Cerrito. The coleslaw had raisins in it.
Mm.
Who asked for that?
Who asked for coleslaw? I'm against coleslaw. Bad for ball.
Well, it was coleslaw or french fries. I'm trying to cut down, being that I'm 9'9", 990. That's my height and weight.
Is that right?
9'9", 990.
990. Wow, you're gigantic.
All right, so is Lucas doing this, or how are we doing
Lucas
this?
Is going to do it. I like that, though. Raisins, bad for ball. That's about as simple as you get.
What there about pineapple and coleslaw? Have you guys ever had that?
I'm okay with the pineapple won't ruin my day. I can, but the raisins will actually ruin the month.
It's a day ruiner? A month ruiner?
It's a first world problem. I understand that.
Pineapple, by the way, has become something of a bonding mechanism between me and my youngest daughter, who loves pineapple. But it's got to be fresh-cut pineapple, and it took me about a year to perfect it, but I can now cut up a pineapple and get the most out of it in about a minute, and she times me. It's become something of a thing.
Right,
pineapple,
don't
good
cut
for
your,
ball.
Don't cut your fingers off.
I won't. I've learned from Jeremy Affeldt. Every time I have a knife in my hand in the kitchen, I think of Jeremy Affeldt and all the dumb things he's done to hurt himself. And I'm extremely careful. So thank you for that,
well,
Jeremy.
Herbs, as a Giants fan growing up on a peninsula like you are, do you remember Roger Metzger?
I do.
He cut his fingers off with a chainsaw. He was a shortstop. And then he showed that he could actually still grip a ball. But
right.
The irony there is, in German, Metzger means butcher. I thought I'd throw that at you.
Wow. Did he have a good split finger? Get it?
Oh my gosh. Not bad. Hum, baby. Go ahead, Lucas.
Okay. James Harden. Have you guys been following what James Harden has been doing?
He's been scoring a billion points.
Like 60 points a game.
Without assists.
Yeah.
292 points over his last six games. Woo. That's just under 49 points per game.
Wow.
292 points, all of them unassisted over those last six games.
He extended that last night?
He did. He had 35 last night, I believe.
That's one of the most mind-blowing stats ever.
Unassisted, so he had to bring the ball up himself every time? Or he had to get a rebound every time?
Well, every bucket that he scored was unassisted, so it was ISO.
How is that possible?
Because you dribble 100 times before you take your shot or get fouled.
No one ever passed him a ball before any of those
shots?
Dude,
this is the most amazing stat in my life as a basketball fan.
And I don't believe it.
It's 100% factual.
How can you not believe it?
It's physically impossible.
I'll guarantee you, Rick, that at least 25 people like you have researched this because they're convinced it's wrong. And
doesn't
then they
it sound,
all...
But listen, doesn't it sound unbelievable?
Of course. That's why we're talking about it. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
It's the most extreme example of hero ball you could get.
I don't even think you can score 50 in a game without having an assist.
He's at the opposite end of the Klay Thompson spectrum. Because Klay, almost every bucket he gets is assisted because he's such a great catch and shooter.
So the streak, it's 296. Okay, this is real. We've kept track. It was up to three games, and I've followed it. I've gone through the box score and game log, the play-by-play, every single bucket he has scored unassisted. If you watch how they play, it makes a lot of sense. Simply ISO, takes the ball, tries and beats a single team, double team, either dishes or gets a layup, gets fouled, whatever. Good for ball, bad for ball. James Harden doing what he's doing right now in the fashion that he's doing it.
Well, listen, all that matters is if the team wins or not. So what's the record of the Houston Rockets right now?
Over this stretch, they're about 500.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I still don't believe that. That means that not one time.
Rick, it's true.
I can't be true.
It's true.
No one. Listen, next thing you'd be telling me, we've walked on the moon.
It's been written about for almost a week now as the streak has extended. Trust me, everybody is making sure that it's true at every stop along the way because it sounds so untrue. Everybody is going to double and triple and quadruple check their work.
That means not one rebound has come back out to him unless he's rebounded it himself.
What do you mean? What
that means
rebound have to do with it?
That means, let's say somebody gets a rebound and kicks it out to him. That would have been an assist.
Right, hasn't happened because he got that ball and probably took a couple of dribbles and created his own shot.
Exactly.
Wow. All right, never mind.
So are you saying bad for ball or good for ball?
Well, I'm
you
just
don't
saying,
believe it.
Well, well, if you're...
There's
if this
no
is,
such thing as
no,
I don't
is,
believe
right,
for
well,
ball.
This is good for ball because you could say now he's the greatest unstoppable force in the history of the sport. If he can score that many points with needing zero help.
Yeah. Well, like Lucas says, if you watch the Rockets, you're like, yeah, I could see that. It's bad for ball because...
I know he gets a lot from the line, too.
He does. Mm-hmm. It's bad for ball because it's all about ISO, and it's about four guys standing around watching another guy, and...
That sounds like here.
That, too, is at the opposite end of the spectrum. We've got... Here we have the Golden State Warriors... who assist on, what would it be fair to say, 80% of their buckets they get assists on because they move the ball so well. The Rockets and James Harden are at the opposite end of that spectrum. It's bad for ball because it's not team ball.
So that means that we can say for a fact there was not one alley-oop in that whole stretch.
Exactly. We can say that.
To James Harden.
Okay.
He is making, on average this year, over 10 free throws a game. He just became the first NBA player ever to attempt 20 free throws and 20 threes in the same game. So it's a little bit crazy what he's doing right now. All right. The Warriors starting five is being compared to the Eastern Conference All-Stars starting five. Have you guys seen this?
No,
this
is, I haven't. This is a real I like thing. It, though.
Okay, so the Warriors. Yeah. Steph,
I don't believe it.
Steph, Klay, KD, Draymond, and Boogie. And the Eastern Conference All-Stars are Kyrie, Kemba, Kawhi, Giannis, and Embiid. Just the fact that this is even a debate, would you take the Warriors starting five or the Eastern Conference All-Stars? Is it good for ball or bad for ball? The fact that it's even a debate.
Can you give me the East names again?
Kyrie, Kemba, Kawhi, Giannis, Embiid.
See, this is the thing. Embiid and Walker and Kyrie, they don't even start for the Warriors. And the Greek Freak would probably, I don't know.
Are you asking me if he would start for the Warriors? Hell yeah, he would start for the Warriors.
So one guy out of all five, unless you got to go Kawhi, who are you going to sit down? You're going to play Kawhi over Clay?
Yeah, if I had to.
Well, the thing is that the fact that we're even discussing it shows that the Warriors dominate.
Right. Who wins that game? See, it's the Warriors better win that game because they're used to playing with each other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But so what am I deciding between good for ball, bad for ball?
The fact that it's even a debate, is it good for ball or bad for ball, that the Warriors starting five is in the same conversation.
It's good for ball because we're Warrior fans.
I was just going to say, it's great for ball because we sat through so much Warriors crap for decades. We deserve this.
How about from the league perspective?
I don't care.
Yeah, the Tracy McGrady that was flapping his gums the other day. Talking about it's going to be great when KD leaves and the Warriors get broken up. All right, good for you, not good for us.
Yeah, yeah. And just shut up, T-Mac.
By the way, let me just say this. The players, Herbs, the players got to vote for themselves, right?
Sure.
Okay. And they have to do this. Otherwise, Derrick Rose would have been a starter this year. But Kostas Antetokounmpo, who has not played a game this year, the brother, he got three votes. So obviously three guys thought that Kostas Antetokounmpo was the Greek Freak.
Not, what organization
not,
is he part
not
of?
Not Giannis.
He's in the Mavericks organization.
Okay. Is he in the G League?
Yes.
Okay. So his name's on a ballot. But that's just, I think that's hilarious. That
he got three votes.
Three guys saw Antetokounmpo. Ah, Greek Freak!
But okay, I'm going to play along here, Luke, and try to do it for yourself as well, Rick. You're not a lifelong Warrior fan. You're a Portland Trailblazer fan. Would that change your answer, good for ball, bad for ball, on this one? Because you're not looking at it from the we deserve this as the Warriors
beat up fan base? I don't remember a time, really, when there was parity in any sport I've ever watched. There's always been really good teams.
Right.
This is the way of the world. So it doesn't keep me up at night that there are teams that are really good.
But this is historic. This is the first time you've ever had five guys who were all-stars the previous
year. What did the Celtics win? 11 out of 12 years, was it? With Bill Russell
something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Maybe if you gave me that, then I would say, can you guys just break up? Mm-hmm. But I'm not there yet. No. And I wasn't there when the Lakers were good or the Bulls were good.
Right.
I never got to the point where I was like, Jordan, Pippen, please go to different teams. I never got that.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like if I was a Blazers fan or a Mavs fan, I would my answer would be the same. I would still say good for ball for that very reason.
All right.
What looking at the NFL, though, right, there are five, six really good teams. No one or two better than the others. If you look at the NFC and AFC championship game, all decided in overtime. Isn't that a better product than the NBA with one really good team?
Well, I mean, if you look at the finals last year on paper and you'd say, look, the Warriors won 3 out of 4 and they swept the East. There's only one team in the league. If you look at it that way, you could probably make that statement. But if you actually watch the league and you've watched the Warriors this year, and the Warriors are beatable this year at some point without Cousins. No, I don't think so. The Warriors are not unbeatable. They can be beaten. We saw it. The greatest team ever in NBA history, 73 wins. They lost their last three games and they lost the NBA Finals. So, no, I don't buy that.
Yeah, and part of the reason that I say even if I wasn't a Warriors fan, I would have the same answer is because you're talking about the Bulls back in the day when they were dominant. I don't remember ever thinking break up the Bulls. I just loved watching great basketball, and that's what they were playing, and that's what the Warriors play. And I don't think there's only one good team, one really good team in the NBA. I think there's a ton of really good teams. It's just the Warriors are that much better.
Look at how Houston pushed the Warriors last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at, you know, the Pistons or the Celtics or some of the teams, the Sixers, that would push Jordan back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, nobody just walks right to it.
The Rockets could have bumped the Warriors off if
Chris Paul was healthy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. We don't know.
Okay, let's continue with the NFL theme. If the Rams win the Super Bowl, Sean McVay may just become the new face of the NFL. Would it be good or bad for Ball if a head coach is the face of the NFL?
Well, it's bad for Ball because Sean McVay will still not be a household name, even if they, I mean, for you and I and sports fans, yeah, but there's no way. Jared Goff is not even a household name. Even if Jared Goff wins the Super Bowl and is on a Wheaties box, he will not be a household name. I think it'll be good for the league. I'm not a Rams fan, but I think most people will be rooting against the Patriots just because we're so sick of seeing the same team win. Those of you who went to Marin Catholic, Dan Dibley, and others that, you know, you'll pull for the local kid.
Sure.
I don't root for him just because he's local. I think it's cool that another Cal quarterback might win a Super Bowl. That would be nice. And you think about Cal quarterbacks that have lost Super Bowls. Craig Morton, Joe Capp, they're in there as well. That's the thing that kills me about Cal is that you look in the Pro Bowl, all these Cal players, even this year, and they always stink.
It never happens at the collegiate level.
Do you know
for whatever
why? Because that's a school that will always put academics first.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Or is it coaching? If you've got all this NFL talent, shouldn't you win some games?
You
fall into some wins?
I like Wilcox. Tedford.
I think Wilcox is
Tedford
great.
Tedford was great. I love Tedford. I love Bruce Snyder. Tom Holmo, not so much. Remember, he had Doug Cosby as his OC. It's terrible.
Sean McVay cannot be the face of the league because you can't buy a Sean McVay jersey. The league won't allow it.
By the way, didn't I hear that when Sean McVay was in high school, he was the state high school player of the year, beating out Megatron?
It's true.
Fact. Wow. Crazy.
He must have been a quarterback, right?
I don't know. What is he, like 5'8"? I guess. You can get away with that in high school.
Megatron. I haven't heard that name in a couple of years.
Well, that's the thing. If you go to the Lions, you lose the will to live. Look what happened to Barry Sanders. He retired early. Remember, Barry Sanders got drafted, and he said, Coach Fonts said, once I hear the roar of the Pontiac Silverdome, I'll be fired up. Remember the Downtown Athletic Club? When he won, he was getting ready, I think, to play for Oklahoma State in the Hawaii Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So he was via satellite, and when he won the Heisman, and just stone-faced, he said, this award's from my O-line. It's got nothing to do with me. I just always had mad respect for Barry Sanders. He just didn't play that game.
I just love that Megatron. How old was he when he retired? 28?
Yeah, something like that. 29, maybe.
And he had decided, I've made plenty of money. I'm going to go out while I can still have all my facilities.
Do you remember the guy, the tight end from Ohio State for the Niners, who said, I want to be a surgeon, and so I have to retire so my fingers don't get messed up? He once took on Lawrence Taylor in a fight. John Frank.
Yeah, I remember that name, yeah. Dr. Frank. Yeah, it wasn't, but the Niners more recently had somebody bow out. Chris Borland, the linebacker, right?
The dumb thing about that is that he was hailed as some kind of hero. And I'm like, he's not a hero or a villain.
No, not
just
at all.
He just decided. And the crazy thing is,
he made a life choice.
He actually was a beautiful form tackler, too, which we just don't have anymore. The thing I don't like about Borland was that after he retired, he talked about the rookie symposium and he outed Chris Carter for saying, make sure you have a guy in your crew that will be his weed or his car. He was driving.
Not cool.
It's like, you're retired. Go do what you need to do. Don't be, you know, telling on people now. You want out of the game, get the hell out of the game.
I would like to be a fly on the wall if those two guys are ever in the same room, because I'm sure Chris Carter's going to have something to say.
Okay. ESPN's Jack McMullen broke the story late last night that LeBron James's camp, quote, prefers Luke Walton to be fired as Lakers head coach. This just a day after reports came that the Lakers apparently have made all their players available in a trade that would bring them a second star to pair with LeBron. The media pretty much is LeBron's camp at this point. Having such a close connection between a player and the media. Good for Ball, bad for Ball.
Well, listen, I think it's bad for Ball when you have, like, fawning sycophants. But, listen, a lot of guys, you know, they get paid. A lot of guys and women, too, they get paid to get some sort of scoop on this. And all LeBron has to do is say one thing and everybody scrambles over it, even if it's off the court or political endorsements, what have you. I just wish he would just not have his camp say it. You know, just go up to Luke Walton and say, look, I wanted David Blatt out of Cleveland and I got my way. I got my guy Ty Lue in here. Let me do whatever I wanted. So I need you to leave, too. If that's what he really wants, don't go through these vague channels through osmosis where you're going to say, oh, we'd like to have him out. Why? So I heard like you bring in Mark Jackson. You think Mark Jackson's not going to crack a whip on that team?
And what is it that Luke Walton has done that merits firing? He's done a decent job, I would say.
Look, he probably doesn't bow down.
Look at the personalities that guy's got to handle.
He probably doesn't bow down.
To LeBron?
Yeah.
Nor should he. He's played against LeBron.
Exactly. A couple of years older. The thing I love about Luke, when we used to have him on the air here, it would always be like early when he was waking up. He already had a deep voice.
Right.
But it's like, we now have Luke Walton. How's it going, coach? Do your bochi. His old bochi. Yeah.
LeBron doesn't like me. I'm going to have to take my leave and go back to Golden State. That's bad for ball. LeBron, bad for ball.
I was like, Bochy, you find out people's nicknames. What do you think about that Tomlinson pinch hit home runs?
Yeah.
Tommy did a great job.
Tommy
did a great job. All right, go ahead, Lucas.
Two more. Where do you guys stand on Pop-Tarts? Big Pop-Tart guys?
Good for ball. Pop-Tarts, good for ball.
I'm thumbs up on Pop-Tarts, but they are void. And forget about nutrition. Who cares?
Yeah.
They're pretty much void of flavor.
No.
It's sort of like...
Really? Stop it.
I think if you fought in World War I, you called it bully beef.
Dude, you can get Apple Jolly Rancher Pop-Tarts.
Can you get PCL? Can you get PSL? Not personal C license. Pumpkin spice latte flavor.
No, and I don't want that in my Pop-Tart.
But neither do I think probably crab flavored was my favorite.
You got my interest peaked now, Lucas.
Okay, so
with a Q.
I am a big fan of Pop-Tarts. They just came out with Pop-Tart Bites, and they're exactly what they sound like. Little bite size, probably about the size of like mini Wheats.
Like a Cheez-It?
Pretty much. Good for ball, bad for ball. Pop-Tart Bites.
Anything that will make me say God bless America and make us more obese is good for ball.
And that falls under that category?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to say regular size Pop-Tarts are good for ball, I can't say mini Pop-Tarts are
right,
bad for ball.
Because you're not anti-chiclets.
No, not at all. I will grab a handful of mini Pop-Tarts on my way out the door 10 days out of 10.
It's good for ball. This is why we're in
slippery
radio.
Slippery slope, though. It's dangerous.
Because once you start...
That, yeah.
See, now, if that existed, wait, so it does exist now? They're coming out with mini Pop-Tarts?
Yes, they're officially available in stores near you.
I wonder if that changes Derek Papa's snack of choice. Because as you know, when he came over to watch the Warriors at my place when he was living in Livermore, a weird side bit to this story, I was at the store and I left my door unlocked. Derek had never been to my place before, but I said, dude, the door's open. Just walk in. Yeah. And he said it felt really weird walking in.
Yeah, to a cardboard box.
Yeah, but I call him and I say, hey, I'm at the store. What kind of snacks do you want? And he said, Goldfish. I'm like, what?
That's not weird. That's weird.
I asked for Gerber applesauce and Melba toast.
Exactly. That's why I was like, what are you, 8 years old? Goldfish?
That is a top three snack of all time.
Text line says raisin-flavored Pop-Tarts.
Oh, raisin-flavored Goldfish.
Okay, last one.
Yeah.
The Australian Open men's final is tonight, 12:30 our time. Mm-hmm. Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal. Mm-hmm. Sporting events that start this late at night. Good for ball, bad for ball.
Great for ball. Because... For especially night owls like myself, because I'm tortured by the Furies in my brain and my flashbacks to my previous life in the Franco-Prussian War. No, it's great, especially like if you're ever at a bar, like over the years, and you look up and you go, oh, wait, this is live right now. And that's the reason why the Aussie Open doesn't get any love, is because it's
right.
People on the East Coast, it's 3 a.m. They're not watching unless you're a tennis freak. And it's a great matchup, too. The other night I watched a Serena go out. She did her ankle. She blew
5-1 in the third set.
She blew 5 match points. Was it Pliskova? By the way, when you can tell someone's from the Czech Republic, OVA must be added on to the end of a female. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Hanna Monlíková, her dad was Monlík. Martina Navratilova, her brother was Navratil. And so Pliskova, that means her brother's Plišk.
Same deal in Slovakia. As you know, I was the pitching coach for the Slovakian national team. Same deal. They were calling me. They said that if I had a sister, she would be Urbanova.
Urbanova. Urbunova.
Urbanova.
Urbanova?
I'll try to change the pronunciation.
Apple Turnova?
Anybody Urbanova. Who says this is bad for ball, the sporting events that start, that's just the ugly American talking. Like, oh, it's in another country. It doesn't fit my schedule. It's bad for ball.
What was that old weekend update thing with Jane Curtin on Saturday Night Live? And she said there was a bus accident today. 30 people died, but none of them were Americans, so it's all right.
I thought you were going to go, Jane, you ignorant slut.
That was Point Counterpoint, yeah, with Dan Aykroyd. Go ahead, Lucas.
That's all I got.
I believe that was it. What did you decide?
Well, let me throw a couple at you, Herbs.
Okay.
Because sometimes these things get my goat. Mike Messina and Edgar Martinez in the Hall of Fame, bad for ball. What do you think?
I don't think Messina is a Hall of Famer. I wouldn't have voted for him, but I would have voted for Edgar. DH is a position. If you're still crying about that, you need to get over it. It's not going anywhere.
I don't hold the DH thing against him. I just, the way I look at it is, first of all, the test that we have with, oh, by the way, I want to add something. If someone disagrees with you, we'll get to that in a minute. But I don't hold his position against him. Just never in my life during his career, and I watched all of Edgar's career, did I, you know, who were the best players in the game? Who were the best hitters in the game? You would say that Edgar Martinez was a very, very good hitter. He's just not a Hall of Fame. Oh, my God. Mike Messina, what a joke. And everybody in New York's like, oh, what took so long? And by the way, he says he's going in with no logo because he can't pick between, I guess, Stanford, the Orioles. I know Stanford's not an option. And the Yankees. They're great
That's
players.
That's not his choice.
They're great players. Well, it's,
you don't get to pick anymore because Boggs screwed it up for everybody.
That was the whole thing about if he signed. They did a deal with Canseco, too. You have to go in the Hall of Fame as a ray, a devil ray.
That was back when Hall of Famers could pick where right. who they went in as.
Jeff Idelson, who I met one time, I did an event, a fundraiser years and years ago over at McCovey's.
President of the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
right?
The same age, talked to him. I was at an event with Tom Seaver. It was a really cool night. I forgot how many dollars it was a plate, but we came out and we took questions and I interviewed Tom and for everybody and all that. But the whole thing about whether you have the logo or not, you can't use it in a contractual basis.
Right.
That was the thing when Eckersley, Red Sox fans were upset that he picked the A's logo. And I'm like, shut up. Of course he's going to pick the A's logo. He's from Fremont and he had his biggest success.
Right. I mean, his time in Oakland is why he was a Hall of Famer.
If he was going to pick anything else, it'd be the Cleveland C for his no hitter. So just shut up, Red Sox fans, when it comes to that. I just, you know, we've talked about this before, but I hold these guys to a high standard. Now, the other day on my syndicated show, we had our mutual friend and former colleague, Guy Haberman, on. And we were talking about this very thing. And I said, Michael Urban says that if somebody is a first ballot Hall of Famer and you didn't vote for him, you should lose your vote. He said, I completely disagree with that because sometimes he took the thing about.
That wasn't what I said, by the way.
Oh, what did you say?
It's if you didn't vote for someone who got in with 90% or more.
I thought it was first ballot.
Uh-uh.
Oh, 90%.
90% or more. And if you didn't vote for him, that means it's crystal clear at that point that you have a personal agenda and you never get to vote again.
But the argument that Guy was making and this argument that we heard before from some people was that, look, I know that, you know, Mariano Rivera's in. So I'm going to give that vote to Larry Walker. I'm going to give that vote to Scott Rowland.
It's not your job. Your job is to give your vote to Mariano.
Okay. Fair enough. I think 10 votes is ridiculously too many. I would give everybody 3 votes.
See, and there's some people that think you should be able to vote for as many as you want.
No, then you end up like the NFL. Where you have 5 minimum. That's why the NFL Hall of Fame is like jury duty. And that's why we don't care about football records. If I say to you 714, if I say to you 755, if I say 763, you know what all those things mean.
Mm-hmm.
If I ask you right now, you know, what running back scored the most touchdowns in one season, how many and who it was, we'd go,
Google.
Was it?
Hold on.
We don't, yeah.
Let me type
We
this
could
up.
Have some pretty good guesses, but they're not sacred numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back with more sacred sports talk on the other side. Tittle Urban 95.7 again.
Tittle.
Thank you so much. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle and Michael Urban here, 95.7 The Game, and we'll take you up until 4 o'clock. Warrior warm-up with Steiny and Guru, and they'll get you ready for a huge matchup today. And I know sometimes we like to pump it up, and you know, in all honesty, they might not be the biggest barn burner ever, but the thing is, when the Warriors play, it's always intriguing because they're the best team, and now you add in Cousins, and you add in the Celtics. Michael Urban, and that makes it crazy. By the way, Gary Washburn, former colleague of Michael, will join us at the top of the hour. He is from the Boston Globe, and we'll get some of the news from enemy territory, if you like. But when I say to you, Michael Urban, I'll just say the word Celtics. What pops into your head?
Larry Bird. My favorite player growing up, so that's the first thing that comes to mind. But, you know, it even without DeMarcus Cousins, this game would be worthy of, I mean,
right.
It would have been circled on the calendar before the season started without Cousins, because most people felt before the season started that, okay, the Celtics got to the conference finals without Kyrie and without Gordon Hayward, two all-stars, two perennial all-stars. They get those two guys back healthy, of course they're going to be the East representative in the finals. That's why this game has been exciting from the get-go. We're assuming it's going to be exciting. Now, is it going to be? I think DeMarcus adds that much more juice to it. I think this is one of those rare instances where the hype is warranted.
I always hated Larry Bird.
Really?
Well, going to Catholic school, it was, as you would imagine. See, I'm one of these German Catholics, right? Which is very rare. It was Irish, Italian, mostly Mexican, you know, El Salvadorian, Filipino. Those are like your Catholics, right? So there was this huge thing with the Irish guys. And this is all, you know, we're very, like, super aware of our heritage. Then we went 30 years with not caring, and now it's all about, oh, what's your heritage again? Everybody's like, oh. Mm-hmm. But the Irish guys, they all love the Celtics more than the Warriors. And I always thought that was hella fake because of their Irish heritage. They thought because there was a shamrock.
Yeah, that's lame.
Yeah, and so I hated Bird, McHale, Dennis Johnson. I hated the Celtics. I think that's when I got born. I hated the Patriots. I hated the Red Sox. And I hate all Boston teams. And I thought Larry Bird with that milk-stained mustache. Remember Isaiah Thomas said the only reason everybody talked about him is because he was white. And I remember Dr. Harry Edwards, like a class for him at Cal at summer school, and sociology of sports, like 86. Kevin Johnson was in that class with me, by the way, and then he got drafted by the Cavs and dropped out. But I remember Harry Edwards said that in context, he's right. He said there are a lot of white guys that shouldn't even have high tops that are in the NBA. But he said in content, he was wrong because he picked the one guy who can actually ball.
Right.
In Larry Bird. And then Isaiah Thomas actually retracted that. But
they called a press conference during the NBA finals and put Bird and Isaiah on the same dais to basically Isaiah apologize. And Bird's like, oh, my God, we're in the NBA finals. Do I really have to do this? It's not that big of a deal. Let's move on. Bird would have – he looked so uncomfortable in that room and tried to make everybody else feel comfortable by saying it's not a big deal. But that's just another reason to dislike Isaiah Thomas. I can't stand that dude. He's bad for ball.
What was it about Bird that you liked? Just the smooth stroke?
Just the way that he could get off a shot. You know, his – people give Dirk Nowitzki credit for, you know, the step back. And every time Durant does it, you say he's doing the Nowitzki. No, he's not. He's doing the Larry Bird. That was he wasn't a great leaper, and he just did – all these sneaky little tricks. He knew all the little tricks of the trade. And I admired his, look, he didn't have all the physical skills that we typically associate with star basketball players. He was not an explosive athlete. He wasn't flashy, but he just got the job done at a super high level. And I felt like I was and this is when I was in high school, I was like a high school version of him, only in that,
oh my gosh,
only in that I could not create my own shot without some sort of a trick, right? Like, I was the guy playing defense who would, and I learned this from watching Kevin McHale, you play behind the post player on defense and you lean up into him with your thigh on his upper thigh, and to the point where he's used to that and he's actually leaning back on it. And as soon as the entry pass comes in, you pull your leg away and he falls down and it's a turnover. I just like guys who had little tricks like that, and Bird had a million.
You probably loved Mully too, because
he's left-handed and he could stroke it. Yeah.
He couldn't jump over a brick. Mm-mm. But to me, he was the best I ever saw of getting contact in the and one, because he would pump, you'd leave your feet, he'd lean into you, then shoot, probably most of the times hit it. And then mm-hmm. the way he was able to draw a foul. Now, the funny thing is about Harden, people say Harden throws himself into people. People love to criticize great basketball players.
Steph does the same thing.
Right. It's like, I don't know. People are like, oh, Harden, he goes to the line too much. What do you mean he goes to the line too much? Don't you want to go to the line? Don't you want opportunities to score? It's like people,
right.
People who criticize LeBron James. How in the world do you ever criticize LeBron James? Oh, he does this wrong. He does that wrong. I'm like, the guy goes take. He's taking lame teams to 8 straight finals.
Exactly. I mean, whatever you think he does wrong, I hope it's all off the court because he pretty much always does the right thing on the court.
Right. Say I hate him because he supported whoever in the election. Okay, fine. Judge him however you want. But I just think that, and especially I hear it a lot from Warrior fans who talk about how garbage Harden is, and I'm like, and Lucas just got done telling us he's averaging 49 points a game. I'll take that garbage 7 days a week.
Right.
I just think it's easy to punch holes in people when they're at the top, right?
Well, that's what we love to do, right?
Yeah. Build them up, break them down.
Exactly.
Who have you ever built up and broke down in your writing career? Can you think of anyone?
No, I'm not that guy. I'm not big on breaking guys down once they're at the top. I like watching greatness. I would like greatness to continue and stay great forever. I'm never was that guy who tore people up. The only guy I ever went after, there's two guys that I've gone after in my career.
Yeah.
Milton Bradley, and that was because about 15 guys on the A's came to me and said, dude, nobody's writing about this. Will somebody please write about this dude being a problem because Maka won't do anything. We've got to do something about this guy. So I wrote something. And
what'd you write?
I just wrote that he's not real popular in the clubhouse.
As MLB.com?
Yeah. And it was edited heavily because that's kind of not what they did at the time. But the guy I really went after, and I got to do it because it was in my book, and I didn't have any, you know, MLB.com editors worried about it. Mark Redman, his 1 year in Oakland, was the worst teammate you could imagine. Nobody on that team liked him. He was the biggest pain in the ass. He showed up Bobby Crosby in front of 40,000 people. Crosby's a rookie. Redman's pitching.
Rookie of the year, by the way.
Right. And then, Redman's pitching. Ball hit to second base. It's a tailor-made double play to end the inning. Crosby bobbles the exchange. He gets the feed, gets the out at second, doesn't get the out at first. Redman throws up his hands on the mound. I mean, all the way up, everybody's looking, turns around, looks at Crosby and throws up his hands like, oh my God, how could you do that? Look, I don't care who you are, who the other guy
is. That's Curt Schilling stuff.
That is Schilling stuff. By the way, that's why he's not going to get into the Hall of Fame because of what an ass he is.
I still wouldn't put him in anyway. But, yeah, I mean, he rubs people the wrong way. And I just wonder when Trump, put out 25 tweets the other day, and he said Curt Schilling belongs. I wonder if he wanted to say, like, shh, you're not helping.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But he probably wasn't because he probably loves that.
Let me just tell an Uncle Milty story, and we've all heard a million of them. Just one good Uncle Milty story. And by the way, Andre Ethier in that trade, and the thing was, well, Travis Buck and Andre Ethier are the same guy. Andre Ethier had just won the home run derby at the Texas League, whatever. So just because they were both out of ASU, I guess Travis Buck was the same guy as Andre Ethier. John Baker told me one time in spring training, he was on his cell phone, and at that time, it was some junky piece of crap. And Bradley sees him in the clubhouse. I'm sure John doesn't mind me telling the story because it's a nice story. But Bradley sees him, and he's like, nice phone, Bake. He goes, you go back to the Stone Age for that garage door opener. And he's like, hey, Milton, you know, I don't have a multi-million-dollar contract. Sorry, this is just about all I can afford. And he's like, I can't believe you roll with that thing. And guy's like, well, this is my phone. This is all I can afford. And Milton Bradley goes, I got the Dwayne Wade chocolate. Remember the Dwayne Wade chocolate phone?
No.
Yeah. They had a commercial, national commercial, which was the coolest phone.
What?
About the time as the Motorola Razr, you know?
Uh-huh.
They had the Dwayne Wade chocolate.
How do I not remember the Dwayne Wade chocolate?
Do you guys over there remember the Dwayne Wade chocolate?
Come on, they weren't even born
they're
then.
They're eight.
They're eight.
But he said the next day, Bate came into the clubhouse, and on his director's chair was a box. It was a brand new Dwayne Wade chocolate. Milt's like, I got you.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, so he wasn't always insane.
No, he was only insane half the time because I think he was undiagnosed bipolar. I mean, everything that I've read about bipolar, I mean, Milt was a classic case. You knew within 30 seconds of seeing Milton for the first time that day, whether he was good Milton or bad Milton. And he wasn't one of these guys who would be good Milton this hour, bad Milton the next hour. It was either good Milton or bad Milton, and you got him all day. More often than not, you got bad Milton in Oakland.
I'm Milton, your brand new son?
I don't know. Got good Milton, he was incredible. He was super intelligent, really articulate, really thoughtful. Anytime I knew that good Milton was in the house, even if I didn't need to write something about him that day, I would go get my 15 minutes with Milton and ask him a million questions that maybe I could use later, because he was maybe the best interview in the room when he was good Milton.
Anybody else that was bipolar? What was the deal when...
Bean?
What was the deal when... It was you were the wrong man identified for a crime from Justice.
Oh yeah, Justice thought that I disobeyed him. He didn't want a certain thing from a Father's Day piece that I worked with him. He sang his daughter to sleep, and I thought, you know, that's pretty cute. And I had a follow up question about that, and he goes, "Dude, don't write anything about that, please. I don't want that in the piece." I'm like, "Okay." And then the clips come out the day after Father's Day, and he comes up to me livid. I told you that shouldn't be in the piece, blah, blah, blah. And he like throws the pack of clips like in my chest. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? I did not write that. So I went up to the press box. I got the clips myself, and I saw another person had done a Father's Day piece, and they included it. So I got to go back down. I mean, Justice mugged me basically in front of the entire clubhouse. So I needed to go save face and show them that I'm not going to get pushed around. Otherwise, everybody would have treated me like that. Mm-hmm. So I made sure that Jermaine Dye and Terrence Long and Ramon Hernandez, all the guys that saw him come after me, I waited until they were all there. And then I brought the clips back to him and I said, take a look at who wrote the article before you come, you know, come down my road, so to speak. And I slapped him in the chest with the clips. And it was, he flipped through it and he sees that it was another guy. It wasn't me. And he waited until the other guys were gone before he came and apologized to me. But I took that as a huge victory.
Very cool. That's a little inside scoop there from Herbs. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, the number one sports talk station in the Bay Area. Let's bring in Gary Washburn, an NBA writer for the Boston Globe. And before we start talking about this big game tonight, Gary, I'm here with your old pal Michael.
G. Wash, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, Mike? My goodness.
I know. How long has that been? I remember editing your copy when you were a Major League Baseball beat writer back in the day.
Yeah, man.
I'm guessing you like this beat better.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, baseball is a fun beat, as you know. It's acquired taste. You don't have any summers. But the NBA is pretty neat. You know, it's kind of grown and become a real, obviously, I mean, you guys know up in the Bay Area, I mean, it has become just a great thing itself, you know, with the Splash Brothers and the championship. So, it's pretty fun to cover the NBA.
We're talking with Gary Washburn. He's a beat writer covering the Boston Celtics. G. Wash, this was a game that I think everybody circled before the season started, and we all assumed, okay, you get Kyrie back, you get Gordon Hayward back, to a team that made it to the conference finals without those two guys. Of course, they're going to be the East representative. The Warriors are the Warriors, so there's always juice there. I think even this is a bigger game here in the Bay Area than it would have been otherwise, because you have the DeMarcus Cousins factor into it now. But even without Cousins, this would be a game that the entire NBA will stop and watch, right?
Yeah, because it's kind of the battle of the East against the West, and the Celtics were kind of tapped as the team that was going to, without any real resistance, reach the NBA Finals and likely face the Warriors. That's not the way it's turned out. There's some pretty good teams in the East, Milwaukee, Toronto. Philadelphia will have something to say. Indiana, before Oladipo's injury, is a very good team. So the Celtics have had their ups and downs this year, kind of like the Warriors, but not kind of like the Warriors, because the Warriors have three rings on their resume to say.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.